Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise as we celebrate this fourth or Laetare Sunday of Lent, that our salvation is dawning near and the wonderful saving events that set us free from the grip of sin and death and evil works and brought us into your kingdom of light is on the horizon for us. So as we finish out our Lenten season, these last few weeks that remain, strengthen us in our inner selves through the grace of your Holy Spirit to continue to stay strong and to encourage one another. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Good evening. A few weeks ago, I got a phone call, kind of a desperate phone call from a young man who's going to Whitman College in Spokane, Washington, or near Spokane, Washington. And he said that he was an alumni from Kennedy Catholic, where I was the chaplain, you know, for 3 years, several years ago. And he must have obviously been there when I was there. And he said, I have this assignment to do, and I have to have a report. He called me late Monday night, and it's due on Thursday. Well, I immediately took pity on him because I wait till the last minute to do everything, too. They don't call me last minute Jim for nothing. So I called him Tuesday morning, and he interviewed me for maybe half an hour or so. And this first question was, what is the gospel? And I just quoted what I just read to you. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. And I explained to him how sometimes we get on the defensive or we're not able to be simple anymore. We complicate things. We add requirements and things to the basic message of the gospel, and we're not able to articulate it. We're strangling ourselves from the basic proclamation, the kerygma, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he seemed a little perplexed because he really hadn't heard that, you know, which just shows, you know, the level of confusion in the church and everything. And I said, we were separated from God and we couldn't find our way back to him, but he, in the fullness of time, he sent his son to rescue us and make a way for us to be, you know, become children of light. To those who believe, he became the power to become sons and daughters of God. John will later say that in the prologue in 1 John. And that's what we need to hear. That's good news. But sometimes we look around our world and even in our church and it's kind of in disarray and the confusion, and we can get kind of bitter and negative and forget that we're supposed to be proclaiming and living good news, that people who are oppressed, depressed, experiencing great pain and suffering in their life can be set free from that. You know, I told you last weekend that I was going back to that church conference, and I did. And Saturday night, unfortunately, there were a couple pot shots delivered at the Catholic Church. So I was a little upset, and I said this on Facebook, I can very easily brood over injury. I'm really good at that. But I decided to go back Sunday night, and what I experienced was absolutely amazing. It went on about 2 hours longer than it was supposed to. They made the announcement, your children are leaving the nursery, please come pick them up. And then 2 hours later, I think we ended the service. So I think the parents with children left, but there was just so much deliverance and healing that night. It was amazing. And the person was very gifted, was the MMA cage fighter, you know, and he was great sense of humor, but he's calling out healings that were taking place and giving people words of knowledge and prophecy. And I just sat in my chair because my back was acting up a little and just like, wow, this is beautiful. This is what our good news is all about, that people who are down and out and depressed and have brokenness in their families and their marriages can experience liberation and healing. And then I started to pray, now I want that in our church, you know. I'm tired of kind of just, well, we hear about it, but are we seeing it? Is it happening? And it's when we really move into that, God so loved the world, and he wants to set me free so that I can help set someone else free. Those who are healed, heal. Those who are wounded, wound. And so God is inviting. Lent is all about inner healing and coming into a more deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And have we experienced that joy of the good news? I remember when I came into my faith, my junior year of high school, it was an amazing year. It went from dark to light, you know, and it just all kinds of wonderful things happened. Have we experienced this? And it's not just a one-time deal, you know, give me back again the joy of salvation. We let the things of our lives kind of get to us, shame us, and sometimes we just need to pray that humble prayer of David, give me back again the joy of salvation. I've lost it. I felt like I lost it when I went on that retreat. I got it back, you know, and I'll need to ask again and again, like all of us, right? It's not a one-time deal. Fan into flame the gift of faith. So this is our message to the world, and I think even now with all the things happening, we can kind of retreat to that defensive posture and really not be living and preaching good news, and people aren't getting it from us because we've just become so disarrayed and just disappointed with things around us. And that brings me to the second reading, Ephesians 2, a very important passage of Scripture. I remember the day my Baptist friend sat me down and read this to me, because she said, "You Catholics think you can save yourself by works." And I just said, "We do? I've never heard that." But now, being a Catholic for 54 years, Pelagianism, you've heard me rant and rave about that heresy that started in the 4th century, where we can save ourselves by our own works and efforts. We don't need God's grace. That's still a wrong teaching, but it's very prevalent in the Catholic Church today. We're saved by grace through faith. It's nothing we can brag about on our own. I remember during the COVID pandemic, a certain political leader said that it wasn't your prayers that caused us to get through this, it was what we did. And I just thought, wow, that's kind of like God himself can't sink the Titanic. We want to take credit for what God has done and not give the glory to God. And our world is very much like that now. We can do everything. We can manipulate things through science. We can control everything. And we no longer look to God for the one thing he can give us, salvation, right? And guidance and healing in our families and everything. So we're saved by grace through faith. And the beautiful thing is the first reading highlights a society that was falling apart and that experienced a lot of desecration in the religion. And the Lord raised up certain men and women to say, hey, it doesn't have to be this way. That if we return to the Lord with all of our hearts, he can restore us to our land. I think it's 2 Chronicles 7 that says that. If my people will repent of their sins and their wickedness, I will heal their sins and restore them to their land. And that offer is valid right now. We were at the movie last night and we found a coupon. Get a small popcorn and a slushy or whatever, or a pop for $7. And my friend, who's in this church tonight, said, wow, $7 for pop for theater food? That's quite a deal. So he fell for it. I didn't have any. But I remember it saying, valid through the 30th of April, 2024. God's offer to us is valid at all times. It doesn't expire. We can always return to the Lord, make an interior decision to return to him, invite him into our hearts, and he can restore us to the land, and we start doing positive things under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and turning things around in our society. And I know this is going to be a very difficult year for our country. It is always very divided politically. There's already things happening where we can align ourselves with this or that side. And as Catholic Christians, we have to rise above that. Whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, think of these things. Remember that from Philippians 4. So we have to rise above all the divisive and hateful things that are going on around us and say, I have good news for you. Things can be different. All of us have gifts that God has given us. And one of the greatest joys for me as a priest, and this is why I love the Life and the Spirit seminars, is that we help people discover those gifts so they don't have to feel helpless in the midst of all the difficult things that are going on around us and inside of us, that God will give us the grace to do what we need to do. And he's offering us new life, new joy, new empowerment in the Holy Spirit. The movie last night was all about that. Mother Cabrini, or Saint Francis Xavier Cabrini, she was a tough cookie. Man, she had it in her heart to reach out to the immigrants, but people were incredibly mean to her, even in the church. And through lots of obstacles in her path, but she was just determined to persevere in reaching out to the immigrants and helping them to experience the American dream, to not deny their heritage that were Italians, but to teach them English so they could assimilate and rise up in offices of politics and different things and contribute to the building of a culture of life. She was just determined to do that, even though she struggled from poor health. And here's something she said. This wasn't quoted in the movie, but I found it. I will go anywhere and do anything in order to communicate the love of Jesus to those who do not know him or have forgotten him. Isn't that beautiful? I will go anywhere and do anything in order to communicate the love of Jesus to those who do not know him or have forgotten him. And lastly, I found Father Walter of Sisek. He was a Jesuit who studied in Rome, went to Poland, and then the Nazis invaded, and then the communists invaded. He spent 23 years in a Soviet concentration camp. And he has a wonderful book called He Leadeth Me and My Life with God. And he talks about how the Lord was with him in all those difficult circumstances. So we're going through difficulties now, but here's what he says, and I think I'll end with this. It's very powerful. Mysteriously, God in his providence must make use of our tragedies to remind our fallen human nature of his presence and his love, of the constancy of his concern and care for us. It is not vindictiveness on his part. He does not send us tragedies to punish us for having so long forgotten him. The failing is on our part. We're the ones with the short memory of his goodness and love, and we quickly turn away or take credit for things he does, but that can always be different. And this man knew that, experienced it, and witnessed to it. And for 23 years he spent in a concentration camp. He didn't lose his faith. He helped other people. And we can do the same thing. Amen?